Because Bloomington's New Tech High School wouldn't accept his history credits, Shay McConnell is now making them up on his own time. The sophomore is just one of a number of students in a classroom full of computers learning about the American Revolution, one click at a time.
I usually don't like history, but this I can actually deal with because like I'm reading and I don't have to listen to a teacher like lecture on and on over something that's not even going to be on the quiz or something like that. It just gives you the facts. I learn more because it's like straight to the point. It's fast and easy and fun, I guess. It's pretty fun, actually.
What he's doing is called virtual learning, or learning through educational software. And until recently, most virtual learning was done in the name of credit recovery.
Basically, I flunked freshman algebra. I need it to graduate. I'll find some time to take it before I graduate.
That's Indiana University High School Director Bruce Colston. So far, his virtual learning outfit has equipped 13,000 students not only with makeup algebra classes, but also with courses to help them graduate early, learn at home, or cater to their particular learning style. Essentially, it's school anytime students want, in doses that fit their whims. As the number of young Hoosiers learning from computer screens instead of from teachers grows into the tens of thousands, Colston says state standards are badly needed. Right now, there are few.
If you're going to offer a course in a brick-and-mortar school, it's got to match state standards. It's got to be taught by a certified teacher. It's got to da-da-da-da-da. Virtual courses? Nothing. Buy them from anybody? As long as a school will put it on a transcript, it goes.
Colston says virtual classes and traditional offerings are, in some cases, miles apart from each other.
Hundreds of providers all over the country, some of them accredited, some of them not accredited, some of them are being run out of somebody's basement on a Xerox machine, others are high quality, and the consumer is almost clueless as to what they're paying for and how to even judge what they're paying for. Right now, it's the Wild West.
Right now, some have associated virtual learning with the Wild West of public education, where anything goes.
That's Terry Spradlin with Indiana University's Center for Evaluation and Education Policy, or simply KEEP. He's helped write policy briefs aimed at swaying lawmakers on the issue. He says the quality of virtual learning offerings varies greatly from school to school, thanks in large part to a lack of standards. Spradlin says the coexistence of for-profit and non-profit entities may even encourage the split.
If they don't choose wisely and shop wisely, then they could get a very low-quality product that parents would not be satisfied with. So caution must be used, you know, for our educators at the local level and making sure, you know, rigorous programs, high-quality programs are selected. So,
a recent policy brief from KEEP encouraged lawmakers to write a bill requiring each high school student in the state to complete a virtual learning course before they graduate. But if the state requires virtual learning in classrooms and a school corporation farms out responsibility for those classes to a for-profit entity offering lower rates, then what's to stop that company from also offering lower quality classes? If such a mandate from the state is unfunded, as it might be, school corporations will look to get the most bang for their bucks, which are already in short supply. IU High School's Bruce Colston says the issue will play out in the legislature in the next 3 to 5 years.
The issues are bubbling up now and the players are aligning themselves.
And Colston and other heads of virtual learning outfits are most certainly players. In Wednesday's feature, we'll hear about a survey and report Colston and others commissioned to demonstrate a need for virtual learning in Indiana classrooms.
And to try to influence legislation and the DOE in positive ways that we think would help promote quality virtual education.
For WFIU News, I'm Daniel Robison.